Great. All right, we are discussing the movie 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days. Present are
Brenda,
Lenore,
George,
Nancy,
Mary,
Steve,
Shandy,
Jane,
Mira,
and Richard. And we all saw the movie, yes?
Yes,
we did. Yes.
Amazing.
Mira and I just came from it.
Yes, and we had a little discussion.
Oh, I got a little nasty.
Uh oh.
Nasty?
You were nasty. I wasn't nasty.
Well, tell us the substance of the discussion.
No, that's what other people say.
Yeah, that's what I say.
Okay.
No, you cast aspersions on my not liking.
Yeah.
I thought the movie kind of started a little slow for me, but turned into a masterpiece as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the way this guy filmed it was so suspenseful and gripping.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was my favorite scene was the dinner table.
Yes.
You felt like you were just sitting at the other side of the table and just watching everything that's going on.
You could feel her anguish.
Remarkable scene. Well, they would pop in, remember, they'd reach for something.
Body part.
Yeah.
Right.
It just focused on her pretty much.
And you could feel her tension and anguish.
You can feel everything going through her mind.
And actually, the discussion was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
then
the boyfriend later says, you know, you hate what my family talks about or something. And actually, yeah.
It wasn't
that.
What were they talking about?
About the potatoes. How you make the potatoes.
Yeah.
They just had a class thing. They talked all about potatoes, but in the middle of it, they called her parents simple people.
Right.
As opposed to educated people.
Yeah.
They were all.
And there were some other little zingers that came up in there, too.
There was a lot of stuff.
But that's the one that really stuck out.
I just totally agree with everything that Steve just said. But I also, especially the dinner table conversation, the New York Times, in their review of the movie, they said this movie is not only about consciousness, but it is consciousness itself. And that's how I felt sitting at that dinner table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like I was in her head, thinking, I should be at that phone calling to see how my friend is, and I better get back quickly. So I didn't even hear the conversation. I was like, my friend was in that hotel room.
Yeah.
I was just like, I got to call. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm just watching the movie. You know? I just thought it was brilliant.
She was such an amazing actress. She was the highlight of this whole movie, was her acting to me. I mean, there was a lot of other things, but to me, she was the epitome of this movie and how she portrayed her character.
Although the girl who played the one who was having the abortion was fantastic too.
You
wanted to shake her.
Yes.
What a dip.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
She did.
Yeah. One thing after another, she does this.
But she just.
Well, the abortion.
Her.
She did
that
So my mother and I had a discussion this morning on the phone about this film. And the question she raised was, she thought, or maybe her friends and she, I don't know, was, did the guy actually have fake papers, and that's why he didn't want to pick it up?
That's what I
think. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
He was very aware of his passport.
He
would
have left
it. It clearly was a fake passport.
Yeah because he could have left it.
They have my papers. They have my papers.
Right.
Yeah, but that would be the expected reaction, but he could have left a dead body in that hotel room. He wasn't going to let them know what his name was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there
any
reason she took the switchblade?
Well,
she just was going through his things and kind of had it, and he shows back up, so she.
I think she didn't have time to put it in.
Well, I think that scene with her and the doctor and the other girl, where they're all discussing the
doctor.
That scene went on unedited, without cuts. Also, I thought it was almost like watching a play at times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just. It was amazing how they did that. I wonder if it was due to budget constraints, which might have been part of it, or whether...
I think that's his style. That's what he wanted to accomplish.
Because there were scenes where he was sterilizing the probe, and you didn't see him, you just saw the probe.
That was great.
And there was a scene where somebody else was on the phone. They didn't show anybody's head, they just showed the phone.
Yeah, right, and then there was the other scene right after that, after the procedure where he was at the head of the girl, the camera was at the head of the girl, and she was just looking at her knees and trying to stay very still. Stay still. Stay still. You know.
Fascinating.
Amazing.
So this is going to sound silly, but I really got kind of confused. The only thing that confused me is he, because they didn't have enough money, the deal was you have sex with me, both of you, and then...
Because
I was thinking maybe that's why she took the knife.
Well, it was definitely the blonde, but I think it was Brett, they both washed
her.
I thought it was confusing whether it was both of them. I thought it was just the blonde.
First I thought it was just the blonde, but then she comes in and washes her.
Right, and that's how I took it.
But she was both.
Because I thought maybe she took the knife because she thought, you know what, we've gotten him way over our heads.
I did too.
So this was an interpretation of another hand.
It was right. I mean, it may have been something in there for no reason.
And it could be more than one reason.
Right. But you know what Chekhov said about the gun?
That's exactly right.
The gun shows up
a shotgun in the first
act. And he has to go off by the third act. But this knife never went
right.
It's not a gun.
But it was hanging there.
Just that she wanted to take something of his. But it was a knife.
Yeah, I think it's amazing when she opens it, it's definitely chilling. Maybe she wanted to make sure he didn't have a violent person. But it's true, I kind of wondered why there was. He didn't seem like a violent person. But it's true, I kind of wondered why there was not the kind of murder then. That never, I don't think, that's not the feeling I got. But if things had gotten out of hand.
Well, that moment when she opens the knife is chilling on many levels because of the abortion, because of. It's a switchblade, it's part of the suspense.
That the director says, let's bring this knife into the fold and leave it. Don't even use it, but it's still there.
Constant presence,
suspense.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought it was an incredibly violent. Me too. I got a real level of danger and violence.
Oh, I think he was sinister.
The abortionist?
I'm just saying, I don't think he had any... I don't think he had any plan or any... urge to kill them, but if he had to, that's the feeling I got. Then he would have.
But to me, that's almost more sinister. It's just kind of like utilitarian. Oh well,
yeah,
if I need to dispose of these people, then I will.
And there was always the threat of violence constantly from him. It was like palpable.
Mm-hmm. It's like when she cursed that woman and screamed at her. And
I thought he was an interesting character because in the beginning he was portrayed as a chameleon.
Right,
kind of like, wasn't there something, I saw it a long time ago, wasn't there something about his relationship with his mother, that he was having to take care of his mother, and I thought it was an interesting approach to an abortionist, that he was being portrayed as just this ordinary person who was not violent.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was threatening in that scene with the mother.
Yeah, he was.
I told you to stay in the house.
Yeah.
Why are you out of the house?
He was berating.
I didn't feel that it was a warm, natural relationship.
Possibly, I thought he was being protective of her.
Really? You know, I thought he was being protective, but at the same time...
Well, so I didn't finish what I was saying
about
him. I thought that it was an interesting characterization of him because he seemed so not strong in the beginning, and it was a total surprise to me that he went for sex as a payoff. He just seemed like a kind of desperate person that would... make some kind of deal with them for more money and not do it but the timing was such, and he seemed so asexual the way that he was portrayed. And
well, he was. I didn't feel that way.
What did you think?
I thought from the beginning when he first came on that his whole thing was asserting himself that I run the show.
Yeah.
And do not question fuck all from me because I'm running the show and you are shit. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm here only because of what I'm going to get from you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when it became they didn't have the money, okay, well, then I'm going to fuck the show. Excuse my language, but I mean, that's the energy that I feel from him. I don't feel him as... neutral or kind or any
nurture,
of those
not nurturing, not any of those.
Very, very, you know, power and about him. Mm-hmm. It's just about his own gratification, mm-hmm. whether it's money or power or being on the top or sex or. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel it was asexual.
I believe he's done it before too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's routine.
It's just like I think this is his way of getting
routine,
sex.
Yeah.
Probably erotic part.
And it's so chilling how he like basically
he manipulated the whole conversation to get to that point.
And through violence, I mean, I thought it was very violent when he cursed her and yelled at her. Like, you are shit, you are shit, you are shit. Now get on the bed. You know, and then I'm gonna board a fetus. That also was especially
that juxtaposition.
Like, it was almost like it was like he was getting some satisfaction out of the most.
Maybe what was erotic for him?
What was erotic for him doing abortions? Yeah. I was like, oh my god.
Well, this whole business of not having discussed money beforehand—that seems a bit.
No, they did. They knew how much it would. Well, that's true. They didn't.
They spoke to Ramona.
That's true. It was through Ramona, and they thought the $3,000 would be enough.
So he may have thought to, like to say, manipulate into the having them have sex with him. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was his plan all along.
But she did. She lied about how far along she was.
Yeah.
And she lied to herself. I mean, I think she was natural thinking. Mm-hmm. I mean, she really couldn't bear
It's only too much.
Yeah, it's only too much.
Don't go.
So
the other scene that I just thought was so chilling was when the friend went to dispose of.
And when she almost, that guy comes up behind I almost screamed out.
Don't go down that alley.
It's like a slasher film.
But then she talks to him.
Yeah, but I've done that when I have felt somebody behind me. I will ask him something. That was something that I really liked about the film, in which there were opportunities for it to have more death and violence in it, but it didn't happen. There were suggestions, like that scene with the man coming back turned into an ordinary scene. She could have come back to the hotel room and her friend would have been dead. And in fact, even the thing with the knife, the possibility of violence happening there.
It's always there, yes.
So that it kind of gives you a sense that this idea of violence happening at any time is in the consciousness of the people in the film, even if it isn't overtly expressed in the film. And that was something I thought was really strong.
So do you think that it has a political level in terms of Romania?
They need to make abortion legal.
I had heard that the director, I heard somebody told me who heard an interview with the director, apparently he said that he was really only using this abortion stuff as a vehicle for communicating what it was like in Romania at that point in time. And it's interesting that the bulk of this discussion, though, has been on the abortion, and the, even though apparently that wasn't really what he was really trying to communicate via this film. So apparently, it was, you know, it was political.
But it's also very accurate because abortion was very, what I heard from somebody who'd read about Romania was that abortion was extremely tightly controlled, but there was a period where women were like, their periods were checked.
Well, they said that in the thing.
All the time.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you were not allowed to have an abortion, you were all this pressure to get pregnant and have children, and so very part and parcel of that whole totalitarian system.
Everything was checked, and that when they were in the dormitory, it seemed like they kept talking about how I have to take this exam because it was like they were checking. I don't remember the literal details of it. And then I think that one way in which the oppression of the society was really there were all the hotel people. I thought that the interactions with the receptionists in the hotel really underlined the state. The impact of the state in Romania.
Everybody asserting their power.
Yeah, and you know how you had to have your ID and how they would. And it's interesting because they were like, it was two cops standing there, right? And she came back and she didn't have her ID, but she still was able to go up and do that. Like they talked this talk of intimidation, and yet she was still able to just go upstairs and get her things. So it was kind of like, it was also kind of this sense of like what you're confronted with all the time, but that people also were very fallible. Like the system was fallible somehow.
Practice to go.
Yeah.
Of course, the black market.
The way that everybody is describing the feeling of the film, that violence is about to break out, everything is dangerous.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to that because one of the things I really, really appreciated about the film was how it really communicated this is an atmosphere of violence and sexual terrorism, if you will. But we didn't have to see it. But we weren't spared from it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we knew what was going on in the other room.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and yeah, I really appreciate it. I get very, very weary of the kind of Hollywood style. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna have all this blood, not just Hollywood, but you know, the kind of pioneer. But you know, all this blood and all this sex and all this really overt stuff, to the point where we get numb from it, and people don't even get hardly affected by it. But this film, you know, we're really
it's
just
like
hooked
the old
in
thing,
it.
The imagination.
That's right.
The most
graphic in terms of the way that it showed how the abortion was going to take place, and then it did take place,
but the sex wasn't.
Right.
Do what do you think of him showing the fetus?
Whoa! I kept hoping it wouldn't.
I wish that was left to show
it. Let me show it.
In that regard, it really made it raw for me. I almost think that it really.
I was fine with it.
I don't know. It really. I thought actually that. It made sense to do that. It made it more, it really...
Yeah, you knew what was in her bag.
That's right. That's right.
So your imagination...
Right, that's true.
It really added to the impact.
But you knew it wasn't real.
Telling yourself.
It's only a movie.
I'm
serious. By showing it, to me... I mean, I kept hoping I wouldn't see it because I knew it would be an awful graphic thing, but it also made me remind myself.
This is a film.
This is, you know, not a real fetus. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, in a way, to me, it worked against itself. It could have been a little more suggestive, like we just saw a foot. But it was also an awful image that's going to stay with me a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. But part of me thinks, and is this just me, but I think... showing the fetus, I don't know, plays into the
anti-abortion.
The
pro-life
people.
I was thinking that.
Not to see on TV that, you know, exactly. Think Patine isn't conservative.
Well, what?
It's like these. So I know it's not. It's in a different time frame and whatever. But anything that shows that.
I felt that too.
Yeah, well, it just made sense.
And I thought of
Juno.
Fingernails.
Right, but this is a Romanian film, so you can't.
Right, I know.
You know it,
I know,
they don't come with all the assumptions that we come with.
But I just on a whole different tack with that. One of the strongest scenes was when she went out to dispose of the fetus, and there were like all these buildings, you know, concrete, and I just one of the overriding things my friend and I talked about after the film was, forget about Romania, forget about the United States, you know, the different political systems and the abortion laws. I just thought it was such an incredible depiction of just the alienation, of just the alienation we have from our own, from our sexuality, from community, from children, you know, from the whole thing, you know. Just total alienation.
So here's a problem for me, and I haven't been to small towns in Romania, small cities in Romania. Here they were in a fancy hotel. It was more expensive than the one she had planned to be at, or that he told her she ought to go to.
Yeah.
And she walks out to dispose of the fetus, and she's like in,
the
Tenderloin immediately.
Right, the Hilton in New York City.
Yeah.
You go out the back door of a fancy hotel, and you take a wrong turn, and you're all of a sudden.
That's true.
I didn't. Yeah. And besides, during that era in Eastern Europe. When I was just there this last year, it still is grim.
Oh, yeah.
It's bleak. And even when they gussied up the hotels, they still have... I thought that was very believable.
I remember when I was in Prague and I saw this book and they showed window displays that they had during the communist era. It was almost hysterical, but you realize it was like there'd be a bread shop. There'd be like one loaf of bread in the window and stuff like this.
Yeah. It was a bleak.
When she went to dispose of the fetus, wasn't there a point where she was going to put it in a chute and then she stopped?
Because of the dog.
Yeah.
It was just an outside rubbish receptacle.
Right.
Yeah. Rather than
it was a dumpster.
And there was a dog.
Yeah.
And the dog then reminded her of what he had said.
That's what I was trying to say. I took it in her own mind. She felt that wasn't going to be respectful enough.
Well, I think that
she was trying
to do something.
I think she connected with the humanity of that little baby.
Of course, she's carrying it around in her purse.
Plus, she might be pregnant.
Right.
So then,
right,
she was concerned that she had, might be pregnant.
Yeah, and she might be pregnant
with
from the abortionist.
Right, we haven't even talked about the scene
with
her boyfriend. That was awesome.
I thought that was so real.
That was so real. Yeah.
I hope he's using a condom.
But he wasn't. Well, neither.
He was the
men she had sex with were, yeah.
But also the dynamic of the conversation between them, where she's incapable of expressing. I mean, you know, it's not that she's incapable, but she's unwilling to express the depth of what she's been going through.
Yeah.
And he would apologize for anything. And when she said, "Do you know what you're apologizing for?" I thought that was so real. I mean, he wanted to placate her, but he had no idea what was going on. But the reality was she wasn't really helping him out in a lot of ways either. And she had just been faced with the reality of what could happen in their relationship, which she probably had never really thought about to such depth either. Now she knew the implications, but he didn't. He was still protected by his family and his class.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really, really interesting and accurate. The movie really was full of a lot of very accurate kind
very
of thing.
Yeah.
And that conversation, I mean, that 1987, today, anytime, that whole disconnect of a boy that age and a girl that age just felt very
authentic. That relationship, that first conversation that we saw them have where he is pressuring her to get to the family dinner on and she can't tell him why she can't be there.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing. That's not important.
And then the 48 gladiolas versus
37. But there were a lot of little superstitions in there.
Right.
Left the room and she wasn't supposed to come back.
Just
bad luck. There were a whole lot of, like, you're not supposed to have an even number of flowers. There were a whole lot of little superstitions in there that I didn't really
remember.
Wasn't that familiar?
Romania.
Romania.
Gypsy lady.
But okay, this is not the major thing, but I have to tell you, I didn't feel like Blonde Woman, the way she was dressed, she could be walking down the street now. Her blouse, you could buy that blouse at Macy's. I forgot that it was 1987 until I saw the boyfriend in that oversized denim shirt. I felt that, I mean, I don't know how they dressed in Romania in 1987, but that style top was not 1987. It was like now.
Or 60s.
I didn't think it was 60s.
No, that's been around. I didn't think that.
Really?
And the scarf was very 1987.
Oh, I wear it. Are you kidding? I walk around like that all the time in the little short jacket and the jeans and that top.
What's supposed to tip you off? It's 1987. I don't remember that.
You tell me
right in the beginning.
In the bottom shelf, right? In the bottom right.
I knew it was Ceausescu because there were some references to Ceausescu, but I didn't.
It has to be the
I think somebody said here too, and I agreed with that the movie, instead of making it the worst case scenario, and I have to say, when the friend finally got back to the hotel and got into that room, I mean, I was just on the
She's
going to
be dead.
Or
busted.
Or gone. She would have left or something.
Or ran all over the place.
This movie had the formula for anything to go wrong, but pretty much nothing did.
I was going to say, I have a lot of respect for that. That it really, you know, it ended on a note that would be very realistic, where there was so much that could go wrong, and yet somehow, at the end, it was like, well, let's not talk about this.
Yeah, but she was, like, raped.
The other girl had
a really horrifying
solo experience.
By herself, she was left alone, and her sense of who her boyfriend and her relationship with him was totally destroyed.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're, and you're totally right with all that. I was just thinking that they didn't go to that, death, or
it's not a slasher film, it's not a Hollywood film. It left it, but it also was, I mean, she has a fever in the last scene. Yeah. So, I mean, who knows? It's certainly
she has
not.
Her appetite back.
But she has her appetite back, which is crucial and is overwhelming at some point when all of a sudden you have your appetite.
But especially, I think, what you're saying, for that to be true and yet for it to be so completely devastating.
Yes, right. Yes,
so
that's
completely
what,
devastating.
That's
right.
Nobody
dies. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It was like,
you're
right. That's,
no police
there. Yeah, that's one.
You love the meal, though, the wedding meal that they got.
Oh, I love that. And I love that the wedding went wrong and the ambulance was there. That's a lot of weddings go wrong. But Eastern European, it just felt like so. And then, the food.
The food. Just what you
and
want.
And they're dancing in the background, even though the guy's leaving in the lobby. And there's an ambulance there.
Did somebody get shot at the wedding?
No,
what
did
they say? It was somebody, it was a fight.
There was a fight.
There was a fight. An ambulance
was
there.
Oh, he wasn't in London. He was from England.
But I loved how the film opened and how it closed. How you just, like, open and it's going on. You don't know what's going on, but something clearly is going on. And then at the end, when it ends, it's kind of like,
when it ended, I thought the reel ran out or the projectionist.
There's
a moment.
I'd been warned that she
it had a sudden ending.
Yeah, well, that the whole audience had said when it ended,
Oh, really? I really felt like that was the end. But here's another thing. I got in the middle of it, I had this sense of dogma. That it wasn't exactly dogma, but there was no background music.
That's right.
The only music we heard was
soundtrack.
There was no soundtrack, and you could hear the crunching through the whatever, empty lots, and the sense of time. Plus, the camera work was kind of interesting.
Then he played some Romanian.
What were the titles?
That was the wedding.
That's
dogma.
I know, it was funny because they listed all these songs at the end of the. They listed about seven songs.
I think
Mira
said
you have
something.
To stay for the
credit.
I know.
Yeah.
I believe she said that. Here's where the fight started. I watched credits in Romanian.
Well, again, I think you heard the songs on the radio at different times.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Ambient sound. And then they have to credit them all. Mm-hmm.
I think she gave a whole new definition to the word friendship.
Oh.
Well, yes and no, because it was not the perfect friend. By any means.
Wait, who are we talking about? Otilia?
Yeah. She left her.
She left her and went off to be with the boyfriend's family.
I mean, again, it's the same thing
we're
saying.
She was kind of blackmailed,
she was, but come on. It was a choice. But at that age, right, that's a pretty strong thing.
But she had sex with that man.
I mean,
what do you want from a friend?
That's true.
I think it's
but she was. But again, it wasn't Hollywood where she would have been the heart. Their hearts are connected, and you're my best friend ever. And it wasn't like that. She said,
I want to hear what George means by that.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that she would go through all this for her friend who was having an abortion is just amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was so patient
with
her.
Yeah, she never really lost her temper.
She just went through it from beginning to end. Yeah.
And the abortionist wants sex,
question it.
No, I agree with you, because this is where we had our little difference of opinion. She says, smiling to ameliorate the situation.
Speaking of herself in the third person.
The character of the girl having the abortion,
Gabby,
I really annoyed the shit out of me.
She was supposed to.
Good. Mm-hmm. No, you were like all, you were so compassionate.
Wait, finish that thought.
She lied to everybody, and maybe including herself. She put her friend in danger. She seemed to have this expectation that the friend was going to be there doing everything for her. And she was totally, I'm sure she was terrified and blasted by this whole situation. But she was so like passively disengaged but willing to have her friend be in threatened and dangerous situations. And it just, it did push buttons in me. It really, bothered me that she would do that. And it actually made me nuts that after this whole thing, she got up and went to the restaurant because she was so hungry. Like, she didn't stand that.
But wait a minute, she's doing everything for her own self-interest. Yeah, you know? She's protecting herself from the feeling by pushing it on a friend.
Yeah, but I have to say, like, I've had several of these uterine biopsies, so they're like nothing like what she had. The first time I had one, and they didn't give me any kind of painkiller.
Right, right.
I couldn't even leave the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. I had to sit for half an hour at the nurse's station before I could even get up. And then I went home and I went to bed, and I did not get out of bed. And I was thinking about, I didn't feel, I felt that she, and I can't say it was the character, maybe it was the direction, but I just didn't see her after that experience doing that.
Yes, getting up, going down to the restaurant?
Surprised me, she was able to do
that. You had called room service. she was sitting there, but she was a zombie. She could not eat that food that came from the wedding banquet.
There was such an act of selfishness. She was like endangering herself and her friend again. Yes, she was totally engaged,
disengaged.
But that kind of behavior. This is more like a comment on the character. It's not, you know, it's not a comment on the, you know, within the context of the film, you accept the characters for who they are. So that was a reaction that I had. So, and the reason I'm looking at you is because you disagree with a lot of.
Yeah, I mean, you like really hated her. Like, she was.
She annoyed the piss out of me.
And I thought she was, again, very, very well acted, very believable. The whole denial, the whole pushing, you know.
Well, she was also a complete narcissist. In that regard, I mean, she was just narcissist in the sense that she didn't care what was going on. It was all about her getting this tape, you know, lying about them after months. And what got to me is that she didn't care what her friend was going through for her. It was almost expected.
She never said, I'm sorry you have to do this, or be careful, you know, when she was going to take the fetus away, or anything.
And the friend.
She was like a zombie. She was in the best when you are. I'm not saying this was wrong, or but that's, I can see why you were annoyed. I was annoyed. There was at one point I sort of wanted Otilia, is that
Otilia? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The blonde,
Say, look, just have the baby already. How could it be worse?
Right.
Plus, I don't know what it would imply, actually.
Do you think she was a bit of a ditch?
She was supposed to bring.
To be fair, she was sick. Remember, she was nauseous, she was all the time.
She was having an abortion, and she did fold up the plastic tablecloth. That's what the whole thing was in the beginning.
Right.
We didn't know at the time what it was. And put it in the thing, and then she had to take it out because her father was coming. And I mean, she was having an abortion, but my feeling is if it was Otilia who was having that abortion, she would not have acted that way.
But we don't know, because by the time we met that character, she already was.
I
thought it was so endearing that she took her school notes.
You found her endearing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That she somehow still thought she was going to have time to study.
She would have time to study, and you saw the pan and the notes in several scenes. I thought she was just so.
I think she was a bit pathetic.
She was pathetic.
Of course.
Wait, Otilia?
No.
Gabby.
She was pathetic, but it was so sad.
Yeah, I must say that. That's different from being totally annoyed at her. I didn't find her that pathetic. I mean, yes, I did find her pathetic, but I didn't find her pathetic in a way that made my heart strings go bang.
One thing that I thought was really interesting, I don't think I missed this, I think it actually wasn't included, but we never learned anything about who impregnated her.
No.
That was very interesting. We don't know if it was a boyfriend, a rape, an incest.
guard in the dorm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have no idea.
Her uncle. Right.
So that was very interesting.
The other thing, the other thing is in terms of Ottilia not expressing, but, you know, doing all of these things, it seemed to be a nature of her, part of her character, that she didn't share the turmoil that she was in.
Right. No.
So she in a way,
like
she was
who?
A perfect.
Who would she share it with?
Her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend.
But, or to even express any overt annoyance at her friend.
But even with her friend who was having the abortion, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She never got in case. She kept everything.
Well, she did a few times have a talk with her and say, you know what? You need to get your shit together. She did tell her that.
Yes,
she did.
She did. In the dorm, she told her.
In the beginning,
She said, oh, you thought about it. Maybe you should stop thinking.
Right. That's true. She did. She did bring it up. That's true. But she didn't really... She kept her own distress.
So the other interesting thing about this is the boyfriend's family and family friends are doctors.
Right.
And why would she not reveal to him this issue and then say, maybe your parents know somebody who could help us?
Well, Gabby,
I don't think that would be realistic.
It sounded like it was such a dangerous place to be.
Yeah, yeah. People to tell him this. Yeah.
And at first, she believed her friend. She thought she was only 2 months along.
Right.
That's what she told herself. And, you know, I mean,
and they got the name of this guy
from
Ramona.
But they knew a woman. They already knew a woman.
But he was cheaper.
And she wouldn't do you if you were over 3 months.
Which means that the young...
Right, so that's what I mean. She was this combination of knowing and not knowing.
And she
kind of
said that. She kind of questioned it. She goes, well, why didn't you... Well,
my periods are far apart.
I was thinking about
that. And the way the guy kept saying, I told you two things that you had to do. You had to go to this hotel or that hotel. You had to
bring a plastic sheet.
You had. I can't. There was something. I thought there was something.
You have to be the one.
Meet me in person.
You have to be the one to meet. I mean, it was like
she
didn't do any of them. She was so. She just kind of let her friend do everything.
Not only that, but here's what the proof that girl was either a ditz or slightly retarded. Which is, she said, when her friend Ottilia said, well, if you knew I was going to be the one to meet him, why did you describe yourself? Did you remember? He couldn't recognize her because he'd been looking for someone who looked like
her. Well, again, you're not retarded. Your mind is just so...
Oh, come on.
I don't...
All right.
I just want to say one more thing that I thought also that movie has stuck with me in such a... Mm. I mean, I actually had an experience where I actually, you know, also had a friend going through... you know, an abortion when I was very young and was the friend who was there for her. And so maybe that's why also the movie just really hit me hard that feeling of this experience will never leave either of our lives ever. That feeling at the end of the movie, I still, you know.
Do you guys talk about it? Have you talked about it?
Well, what happened was we didn't talk about it after it happened. And I didn't, you know, only in the sense, are you okay? You know, she didn't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like she went into this whole denial about it, which I understood. You know, and I respected that. And then actually, after we graduated, we kind of lost touch. And I wrote her a letter maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 years after we graduated. And we ended up getting together again. And we couldn't reconnect. And I knew there was this.
You reminded her of it.
Excuse me? Yeah, exactly. And I think that was
that chapter.
Right. But, you know, a question with these two also is, how good of friends were they really? I mean, they were probably two college kids
who just got thrown together. Right.
Yeah. And they had to get along because that was their situation. And it's like, this is the person I'm going to turn to try to get help while I'm going through this. So you never knew if, like, were they just really best buddies or were they just kind of like roommates there in college together. You didn't know the degree of their friendship, really.
It was a little bit beyond roommates because at one point she said, some of the rooms have worn a room, but...
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So there was some
there was
choice.
Some prior relationship.
Well, and also
something.
The fact that she laid down her body.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Some of that's just solidarity as women, maybe, and desperation,
yeah.
and like, what the hell are we going to do? But
But also, once you do that, once the theater in motion, it felt like that's why I thought it was so realistic. Yeah. It's like, if you would have asked her ahead of time,
bro, no way, no way.
Once the thing is set into motion, he's there. You've got to get it done. You can't wait longer. You can't find another person. Yeah, I mean, it just has a life of its own. Just like the whole movie had that feel to me when she had to get rid of the fetus too. Right. It's like it had a life of its own.
Do you think he used a condom?
Why would he?
Well, otherwise,
he's making business for himself.
Also, if you're about to have an abortion, the last thing almost you should do is have sex. You know?
Well, he wasn't about that.
I mean, it really would up the danger. I thought about that in the movie.
I have a question about something that's probably insignificant, but I didn't quite understand at the very beginning of the movie what she was going. She was going. Remember, what was her name? She was going room to room, like collecting cigarettes and other stuff.
Bribes for the hotel clerk.
So then everybody on the floor knew about this thing.
No, they were using
for bribes for all kinds of things.
They were just doing other black market things with makeup and.
Okay.
She was bought illegal cigarettes.
A little concession stand in his room.
He was interesting. Bucky was showing movies on VHS. I love that. But that was the film guy, and he was...
That's a little glimpse, again, into what life must have been like there.
And I thought those scenes were really interesting. Even though you didn't know why they were doing them.
She probably didn't know.
Yeah, but I just didn't know why they were giving the things to her. It didn't.
She had money.
She was paying for them?
Yeah.
She paid for everything except the
Tic Tacs.
He said,
"I'll throw in the
Tic Tacs." Yeah. They probably had
paying for everything. Yeah. And setting up the whole. Yeah.
And the totally recognizable black marketeer just waiting for her
with the bag
to finish her business at the hotel counter, as if he was so familiar with this kind of situation and knowing that. I thought that was really interesting.
Right. Turn this way, the clerk. He turned this way.
Yeah.
Black market.
Feeling that there's a black marketeer on every other corner.
Right in the door. So right. It's only when the door fails that you go to the corner.
And the sense you get is that they wouldn't have gotten all those things like the soap and all that stuff.
Right. So you had to buy it on the black market.
I just love the cinematography.
That's amazing.
The cinematography.
This is the first film this guy made, really.
Really?
Get out! So.
And he's 22 years old.
The director or the cinematographer?
The director. I wonder if it's.
Romania only produced 6 films last year, and all 6 of them. I've seen 2 or 3 others. The PFA had them all, except this one, because it had already been picked up for distribution. They were all amazing.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's the word. It's like, that is Romanian the place
film
now.
Festival.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Romanian film?
A Romanian film. Only 6 of
them. They're all great.
All 6 of them.
I mean, it's their first film, and it's all in 1 year, so Hollywood, with all its millions, can't come up with you.
I haven't been to Romania.
I'll never forget that dinner table scene ever. It was one of the most brilliant scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
It was. It was just, and every actor was perfect, and we were saying it probably was somewhat improvised.
Yeah. It was so spontaneous.
But it was the perfect combination of this sort of class thing. And then, they managed to get in the zinger that, peasants are smarter than the rest of us. And they're quizzing her about her life and the whole thing with the potatoes.
Just the tension of the film.
Oh, God. I know. Because I wasn't even listening to the conversation. How many
times? The whole film.
Oh, I was. Yeah. I thought the father was very good. And all the actors
were really good. They were, in fact, it was so much like a family conversation on every level. It was so again, it was another scene where everything started. Now, I have to tell you guys, I walked out of this movie feeling it was a really unpleasant experience in a lot of ways. And this conversation has really made me appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad that we're discussing it.
I just thought it was really a consummate masterpiece. Yeah. It was just an absolute, utter masterpiece of a film.
Not fun. Really...
bracing myself for the worst, expecting those mm-hmm. bloody scenes. Yeah, I thought for sure this abortion is going to go wrong. Mm-hmm. It's going to get real ugly. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad it didn't go that way, because I was really prepared for the worst. So when I came out, I didn't... Yeah, I didn't feel as bad as I thought I was going to.
You know something? After No Country for Old Men, I don't think I'll ever be grossed out. Look, having these experiences, it's like, I don't know if I could really be, like, the violent tension in that way. But this is, I mean, obviously, this is psychological.
It's funny, because I felt that kind of... Oh, what a this has been a fairly unpleasant experience after There Will Be Blood. More than No Country for Old Men.
I love No Country for Old Men.
Even though it was bloody as hell.
I loved it.
And it was very tense. But anyway.
Another thing I just wanted to say about this one that I appreciated so much was probably not going to have the right cinematic term, but there was no, what do you call it, there's no fourth wall, there's no fourth, you know, there was no interior monologue, there was no
voiceover,
there was no, nothing explanatory.
That's what made me think of Dogma.
Yeah, but it was, it just was either there or not. And either it was set, you know, we never heard anybody's interior monologue, there was never a title explaining something. It was just in, it's happening. And then close the curtain.
And that's the reason Brenda felt she was at that dinner table.
That's why I didn't hear the conversation. It was like I was the friend, and I was, all I could think of was, I got to get back to my, who knows what's going on with my friend back in the hotel.
And it's because
that's
of that.
What I
it
thought
didn't
it
have that facade.
And also that tension when she goes in that bathroom, and we're watching her face, and we're just watching the
expression. Oh, well, she's a brilliant actress, too.
When she turned on the tap water?
Yeah. No, afterwards when she goes in to get the feet.
Oh.
We have several sessions where we'll see her face looking down, and you know what she's looking at.
Right. Yeah, we're hoping we're not going to have to see it.
That's right.
What is the term dogma movie? I'm not sure.
This is
a Danish group that has come up with there's a group of 10 commandments or whatever, and they all relate to kind of the realism of the filmmaking process, so that there is
trying to make it pure again.
Right. You don't do set titles as cartoons. You have some out there. You're going to show the title as part of something that you actually could see in the world.
No artificial light. You can't introduce a prop into the place where you're shooting.
There.
You can only use what's there.
Wow.
The music
has to be used live.
Yeah,
it can only be
like
ambient.
Something if you're
ambient.
Someone's playing.
The music
radio.
Cannot be added in post-production.
No artificial light.
No artificial light. No credits.
Well, only if you can make the credits appear somehow. No, there was one of them.
There
I
was one.
Seeing.
Well, you know,
none of them have
credits.
Really.
They had credits.
Yeah. Anyway, but
it's a
whole list.
The celebration.
Of
the rule is that you don't. But nothing has ever completely followed the rules. Yeah. But the
but
rules are a goal.
Celebration.
There are only a few. Really.
Celebration was the closest.
Oh, okay.
So there may be. I think that I.
Okay.
A really fun dog.
Well, Italian. Italian for beginners.
Yeah.
Italian for beginners.
Celebration?
Yes, it is.
That is a dogma film. But again, it breaks the barriers, but it's
mostly pretty
true. Mostly dogma, and it's really delightful.
Mm. So this is a celebration, an Italian...
For beginners.
For Italian for beginners.
Because what you're describing is Danish. Yeah, it sounds so inaccessible, but that film was very accessible.
Well, that's why Italian for Beginners was so interesting, because it was an accessible dogma film. There's several that were not real accessible.
I'm sorry, George, were you going to say something?
I think I cut you off. That was a long discussion.
I'm sorry.
I could talk all night about that.
Is it a movie
you're
that,
you, have
is it a movie that you'd want to see again, though? See, I felt like...
I would see it again.
Yeah, I don't think I...
It would take a lot to do it, but
yeah.
I probably would because of filmmaking.
It fits into a lot of other things.
Right.
And that's always true the second time. And the third time, you're not devastated by the content, so you can...
But I don't think
I could sit through it again.
But the tension would be taken away because you know what happened.
Right. I would still feel tense.
I'm sure I would.
In all well-made movies, I worry every time in The Godfather when they go to the restaurant in the Bronx. I mean, I'm like,
you know, or when they're trying to move him in the hospital, you know, down the hall. I'm tense every time. So I think when a movie's well made, you still
feel it. It's like, I mean, I remember, I never saw the movie Jaws, but in one of my script writing classes, they showed some clips from it. And I was amazed. It's like, you know, this whole thing is fake, but it's like the tension. You know, this is a fake machine being this Jaws thing.
You never saw Jaws.
You know, Roy Scheider just died.
Yes, he did. And then right away, it's like,
let's move on.
I think we're going to get a bigger boat.
I'm going to say goodnight.
Hi, George.
Nice to see you, George.
I didn't see the other ones either.
No, me
neither. And probably China. I'll try.
No. Interestingly enough, this movie was not nominated for Best Foreign Language.
Right.
Which movie?
This
one.
The one
we just
saw.
Was it out?
Would it have been? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, for some arcane reason, it wasn't nominated for Best Foreign Film. This is the best
we didn't decide
yet. Film to play in the video.
Then we'll get you on for sure,
That was really great.
And then The Lives of Others, of course. Last year, those were both such good films. It is a suspenseful, eerie, nerve-jangling, and innovatively executed film about a woman trying to secure an illegal abortion. I'm glad I didn't go there.
Me too.
In 1980s communist Romania.
And in fact...